Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It was not a done deal. The Constitution of the United States that was formed by 55 men was not an easy task. It occurred in Philadelphia in the hottest time of the year. If you can recall what last week was like here, that's what it was like for 4 months in Philadelphia as people worked and strived. They tried to compromise, they argued, they debated, but they kept working and working on a document until they had it. Well, that still wasn't it. Then they had to have it ratified. And the states, to give you an idea how that ratification went, Virginia approved it by 12 votes, and the state of New York approved your Constitution only by 3 votes. And there were tremendous, tremendous disagreements. And maybe this might give you a splice of history worth remembering. You hear about the Bill of Rights. Well, the Bill of Rights came about by a gentleman by the name of James Madison, who had to figure out a way to get consensus among the people. And so he wrote originally 13 Bill of Rights. It came down to 10, but finally the people agreed. But the essence of this story is this. That was hard. It was hard to build the framework for our country. But can you imagine the difficulty to build a church? That had to be one of the most significant moments in history. And who did it was a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this church was not formed, as many believed, in Jerusalem. No, this was formed significantly out in the country with a few of his followers. And he said to them, who do they say I am? And they gave some answers, Jeremiah, Isaiah, blah, blah, blah. And he nailed him. He looked him right in and he said, now wait a minute, hold it. Enough of the fluff. Who do you say I am? Who am I? And Peter immediately said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That testament created the foundation of everything that we know. Because you see, Jesus wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't just a good guy. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of the living God, our Lord and Savior. And that confession is what made the church occur. The church exists because of Jesus Christ, and it exists for. It's for him. That's why the church exists. Because he's done it all. He suffered for us. He was punished because we should have been. He died on the cross in your place, my place. And then he rose victoriously over sin, death, and the grave. But that's not enough. That is not enough. Because the gospel has to be proclaimed. If the church loses Christ, let me repeat this. If the church loses Christ, then it loses our reason to exist. We have no reason. If the church becomes merely a social organization, a charitable group, a place where people gather for comfort and fellowship, then we've forgotten our way. We don't know what our purpose is anymore, do we? The church, to be effective, must proclaim Christ. That is why the question in your reading today is so significant for us. The question to Peter. Peter confessed the truth, and then Jesus said, I tell you this, Peter, on this rock, what you just said, I'm going to build my church. Did you hear that? Whose church is he going to build? My. I am going to build my church. He didn't say, I want you to go out and build churches. He didn't say, I want you to go create some fancy organizations. He didn't say anything like that. He said, I'm going to build my church. And that's what changed everything. This is not, and I know sometimes we want to believe that this is our church. No, it isn't. It never has been. This is God's church. And we have to understand that. And that means even little congregations like Concordia. We're a part of something that is far greater than we understand sometimes. Sometimes we look around our congregation, we look at each other, we greet each other on a Sunday morning and go, isn't this a nice little group? We're just a little church. What difference can we possibly make? Why do you think we underestimate the power of our church? Well, let me tell you something. There was only 12 disciples. Now, who were those guys? Well, they weren't very powerful, I know that. Well, they didn't have much money either. And they were not influential in any groups anywhere. Yet Jesus used them just like he wants to use you today. But we go, not us. We're so small. We're so little. We're in the middle of nowhere. Nobody. We're in Missouri, for heaven, Bourbon, Missouri. How in the world could Jesus Christ use you and me? I'd say for over roughly 2,000 years, our church that stands here has endured persecution. We've been through conflict. We've lived through false teachings. Political opposition, cultural change, countless attempts to destroy us. But you know what? We're still here. How can that be? Because it's his church. That's how we are here. It doesn't depend on our strength, our wisdom, on some great Missouri synodical program. It doesn't have anything to do with your ability. The church stands on Christ. We worry about everything. Attendance. We worry about the future. We look to the changes that are occurring all around us. But you know what? Christ hasn't changed a flit. Jesus Christ is still the Christ. He still is the Son of the living God. His word is still true. His gospel is still the power of salvation. And he has entrusted his church with something you heard today in the readings. We possess the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to slow down there because I want you to understand what we have here. Jesus gave us the authority to forgive sins in his name and to retain sins according to his word. When the repentant sinner hears the proclamation of forgiveness of Christ, heaven itself opens up, bells ring, angels sing, everything's great. No government ever conceived can do that. No school can do that. No charitable organization can do that. In fact, there is no earthly institution, none, that can deliver a sinner from eternal death. Only us. But Christ has given his church, he gave us the gospel. And through that gospel, he delivers forgiveness, he delivers life and salvation, and that's why you matter. That is why your presence in this place on a Sunday morning matters. You're not only attending a church meeting. It's not simply a weekly get-together. We're not merely coming here to be comfortable and to socialize. You're coming to the place where Christ, you're coming here to receive a gift. A gift. Here's where the word of God is proclaimed. Sinners are called here to repent and develop their faith. Hear Christ. You will hear of his forgiveness from this podium. People are gathered around the word and the sacrament. And here we're reminded that our hope is not in yourselves. Our hope is only in Jesus Christ. That's all we got. We have seen that hope through history of our congregation. Here at Concordia, we've lived it. At one time, and I can picture them today, the people who used to sit in these pews. Yes. They were here. They're gone now. They have gone into a life of eternity. But they trusted in Christ. We know and we have a sure, certain hope that they have been received into his eternal kingdom. There is no other institution that can say that. Only the church can point sinners to the Savior who conquered death. And that is also why the church, that's why we face such opposition that continues to go on and on. Satan knows. He understands Christians sometimes forget. He tries to muddle your mind and confuse you. He knows the power of the gospel and he fears it. He knows that through Christ sinners are rescued from his kingdom and brought into the kingdom of God. So the church will always face opposition. But I'm here to tell you today that Satan lost. It's over. He's done. Christ won. The cross really happened. That tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. And Christ has promised, as you heard today, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, ever. So never underestimate the power of our church. Never underestimate, please, the power of Concordia, if we choose to use it. Never underestimate what God can accomplish with a small group of people who are faithful to his word. But most importantly, don't forget whose church this is. Our salvation does not depend, as I told you, on your own strength or your ability. Christ preserves his church. Our calling is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world desperately today needs to hear that message. It needs to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It needs to hear that salvation is not found in us. This is where the gospel is proclaimed. This is where sinners hear the good news that their sins are forgiven. And because this is his church, we have every reason to have confidence, not in yourself, but I want you to have confidence in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you go to bed tonight and fold your hands and say your prayers, you say, Lord, thank you. Hold me tight. Amen.